Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to dive into all things God's design for healthy sexuality. Let's talk about it. Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. We have a special treat for you today with our guest, Cindy Beal. She is the author of Healing Your Marriage When Trust is Broken. So whether you're married or single and you're listening, you are gonna hear an amazing God story today. So don't tune out if you're like, oh, I'm not married, or oh, my marriage is thriving. Everybody is gonna hear. I've started to listen to just parts of her story and already tear up. It's such a powerful testimony of God's redemption.
Yeah, we're really excited. Cindy, you know, I want to give a little bit of an intro of who you are, but would love for you to intro yourself. Everybody knows YouVersion Bible app. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're using it. And hopefully if you're not a Christian, you're using it. Yeah. We hope it's on everybody's phone.
Yes.
So you're with Life Church, YouVersion Bible app. Love for you just to tell us what you do, where you're from, what's going on in your world.
Yeah, so my husband Chris and I have been married 29 years, and we both are on staff at Life Church. He's a leader over a lot of our campuses, and then I get to be on the YouVersion Bible app team as the spiritual support leader. And so that's been fun. We have three sons. Our oldest son is married, and we have a granddaughter. So I could just talk on this podcast just about her.
I bet you could. I could just talk about my daughter all day too. So I totally relate. It kind of feels like since you make YouVersion Bible app happen, you're the most famous person we've ever had on the podcast because of what you do being so famous. So thanks for joining us and being what feels like our most famous person ever.
Well, you know, I just do what I can.
I got to ask a question that I've wondered about the YouVersion Bible app. Like, I'm like, man, they have to have a huge team. Like, how many staff members, maybe it's staff, volunteer, like how many people does it take to make that happen? Has nothing to do with the talk, but I think I got to know, and I'm pretty sure everybody else wants to know this too.
Yeah, so I know we have currently about 140 team members, and we cannot hire people fast enough because most of the people we need to hire are software engineers and developers, you know, things that are beyond my pay grade. I don't know what they do. Yeah, I just know they're very smart. And then we have just volunteer teams. You know, we have, think about all the Bible plans you've read. Yeah. We have volunteer teams who are proofing those, who are making sure that they are, you know, a good part of YouVersion and line up with the core beliefs of what we stand for. And so I have a volunteer team of over 1,000 people. We have another volunteer team that translates, and there's hundreds there. So lots of volunteers get to come alongside, and it's really a remarkable thing, just kind of even beyond what I can even imagine. And I work here.
So. Yeah, I could. Amazing. I bet seems amazing. Well,
if somehow you're living under a rock and you're like, wait, what are they talking about? What's YouVersion? It is the best Bible app. You should get it. There's been multiple seasons of my life where I've like put it as my front thing. Like, you know how you get so used to going on your apps to like your social media or whatever is your main app. I just always put the Bible in there. I'm like, this is the first thing I want to open in the morning. And the Bible plans she's referring to, Moral Revolution has one on there, which we've been so grateful to have on there about resisting sexual temptation. Yeah. So if you don't have YouVersion Bible app yet, you should go download it.
And thank you guys for creating it.
Yes.
It's free.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
It's amazing.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to have you. And really what we're going to talk about is your guys' story, not necessarily connected to your job and that, you know, what you guys do there. But you guys have a pretty powerful story. And you've written a book about it. You know, tell us about the book, and then would love to kind of jump in and hear just, hey, give us the little bit of your story, and then we've got a lot of penetrating questions we want to ask you.
Sure. I'm up for it. So obviously you said the book, it's called Healing Your Marriage When Trust is Broken. And the first time I wrote it, or let me just say the first edition was released in 2011. And then I wrote another book after that 5 years later called Rebuilding a Marriage Better Than New. And then this past fall in 2021, my publisher and I got to re-release the first book as a new edition with just some new content. So what you guys have is the same book from 10 years ago, but it's got a little bit extra at the end of every chapter and then one final chapter. And the whole point of doing that was you know, people would say to me, Cindy, you're going to write another book. I'm like, well, I kind of said it. Like, I don't know what else that I'm supposed to say, but I did feel like there are so many people on a journey of brokenness in their marriage. Maybe it's not due to infidelity, but some other kind of betrayal. And so I thought, what can I do to continue to bring hope, to inspire people, to let them know that we're still working out things? Like, we've been on this journey for 20 years, but like, what can we do? What can I do to continue to tell the story and to be faithful with the story God's given us and how He's redeemed us? And so about the story. So it was February of 2002. And my husband came home. We had just been at Life Church, started on the team in January of 2002. And 6 weeks on the job, he comes home and he basically sits me down and he says, babe, we need to talk. And nobody really wants to hear that phrase. Nobody, I've never met anyone. And so he sat down and he proceeded to tell me that he'd been unfaithful to me many times in many different places with many different women. And you can imagine just the deep pain and betrayal that I felt. We
had
been in ministry.
How long had you guys been married at that point?
We'd been married about 9 years. Wow. And all of our marriage had been in full-time ministry. We were worship leaders and youth pastors at the time. And so it was just this moment where, you know, one moment I'm unpacking boxes because, like I said, we were new to Oklahoma. And the next moment I'm just thinking, could I just go be with Jesus? Can I just please leave this earth? And that was, you know, that was a significant part of, you know, that's our story. And part of the pain also that is not painful now, but 20 years ago, part of it, the confession was that one of the women was pregnant and he was pretty sure he was the father. Wow. And so it's hard enough to know that your husband has been with someone else and many other people, but to know that he was going to be a parent with someone else, not you, like, that was probably more than I think I could have handled. But, you know, that's when God steps in, and that's when you either rely on his strength or you don't. And so we began this journey, and, you know, Pastor Craig Rochelle was my husband's boss. And we let him know, and some of our other leaders, and, you know, they were shocked and devastated and just everything you can imagine. But I will tell you, they stood by us. They helped us heal. They brought people into our lives. My husband was broken. He was repentant. He wasn't defensive. He owned everything. He went to therapy to figure out like what it was. And, you know, just so that the listeners might have, I'm sure the listeners have a million questions, but it wasn't an inappropriate relationship with a female. It wasn't an office romance. It was a pornography addiction that led him to, you know, go to a chat room and chat with women and then that kind of thing. So, you know, our sin always gets worse. It breeds more sin and more death. And that's what was happening to him. And so he just acted out in that way. And, you know, I know you have questions, but, you know, just long story short, you know, 20 years ago, that's what happened. And then over these years, God has taken our story and, you know, brought a lot of hope and encouragement to couples who've gone through hard things that maybe they don't have to throw in the towel. I certainly don't judge people in any way. Please. I hope the listeners hear this. I don't ever pass judgment if someone chooses to walk away after such a significant betrayal in their marriage. Yeah. It's not my place.
Absolutely.
But I do love how Pastor Craig always talks about that it's an opportunity for forgiveness. And that's what happened in our marriage. So
that is amazing. Okay, so you're going to have to talk about that. Like,
of course,
nobody looks at forgiveness as an opportunity. It's like a burden, like a requirement. I got to do it, so I'll be forgiven based on Matthew. Like, would love for you to speak to the forgiveness journey that you had to go on.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing about forgiveness, you'll hear people say over the, you know, in conversations, like, if you show any kind of sadness or hurt over something that happened in your life, people assume, well, they need to forgive. You haven't forgiven that person. And I did not have a hard time forgiving my husband. Now, I had a hard time trusting him for a while.
Sure.
And I had to deal with the pain. But like when you watch your husband sit on the floor in your kitchen and call these people who he's invested in for years and let them know what he's done, when you see him call his dad, when you see him call my mom, and when you see this person own the weight, like the significant weight of his choices, like I knew he was repentant. I knew he did not want to do this. I knew he wasn't trying to ruin my life. And I actually, crazy thought, I knew he still loved me. It's just that in those seasons of infidelity and pornography addiction, he just loved himself more. And that's kind of the way I say it. So that's when I think about, you know, when I think about the pain that I felt in the coming weeks and months and even years, like it wasn't me not forgiving him. I was just hurting. Like it's just called grief and it's called dealing with pain. And so I did have this one person when where that whole thought came from is this woman came to me and I was talking to her and I was sharing that it was just still hurting. I mean, imagine some of the things we had to walk through. And she said, well, you just need to forgive your husband. I'm like, I'm not mad at him. I just, it still hurts, you know? Yeah. So that's really one of the bigger things for me that I learned. And, you know, forgiveness is for us. You know, I told someone yesterday that I was visiting with, I said, when we don't forgive, we are putting someone in a prison and then we put the prison in our heart. Like just like, you've got to choose to forgive and give people the benefit of the doubt because, you know, most of the people who hurt us, they're not trying to make our lives miserable. They're not trying to do it. We're just humans. And we have this condition called humanity. And so, you know,
I love that. I love that distinction of I'm not mad. It just still hurts and kind of giving people the freedom to feel like I can be mad still. It can still, or I'm not mad, but it can still hurt. And that doesn't mean I haven't forgiven. It just means that I'm still getting healing of the results of that pain. Like,
yeah, so good. Because yeah, I think a lot of times we jump to in those moments, like, oh, like don't keep a record of wrongs. You're like, I'm not. Right. I'm not trying to put something in your face. I'm just still dealing with my own pain and grief. So it's a lot of permission
and my husband,
to go through that.
He was really great. He knew and like when I would cry and have, you know, a hard time, I never like said, I can't believe you did this to me. I mean, I wasn't doing that, but I would just be sad. And all he would do is hug me because I told him, because he's my husband and I have this like agreement, like, hey, just can you tell me what you need? Because I can't read your mind kind of thing.
Wow. And so we need to make that agreement too.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And I just told him, I said, so when I'm crying in these moments, I just need you to hold me. Just tell me you love me. And that he was like, okay, I can do that. You know, I can just see him go check. Okay. Yep. I got that in my little checkbox. And so that's what he did. And he didn't say, gosh, when are you going to stop being in pain? And, you know, the only way we're going to get through, only way we're going to not hurt that deep anymore with something like this is to go through the pain. We're not going to sidestep it. We try to sidestep it. It's going to meet us right there. So we have to go through it and we have to push through it. And over time, God just healed me from the inside out in a huge way.
Well, and it's so powerful because you knew what you needed and were able to communicate that to him. Because I think a lot of times it's probably messy and you're just like, I don't know, like, you know, whether it's your anger or grief or whatever emotions you're feeling. So to be able to communicate that to him and give him steps to take is so powerful too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I want to go back to, because I think many listeners can relate to this, is the root of it that you mentioned, like for your husband was pornography. Mm-hmm. When was he first exposed? When did that, like, was that something even going into marriage you guys knew was going to be a struggle? What was the story around that root and him finding, like, how to uproot it in his life?
Yeah. So he was 8 years old when he first saw pornography. It was in a magazine because that was 1979. So, you know, back in those days, that's how you looked at pornography. And then eventually there maybe was a VHS tape that you saw. And then eventually when the internet happened, like that was just gas on a fire.
Yeah.
And that's, that's really when it, you know, just started to engulf him. Yeah. And he would have these seasons. He would, you know, share with me, I would learn later that he would have these times where he would look and then he would be good for, you know, 5 weeks or whatever. And then he would look and then he would do better. And then it was just kind of this back and forth thing. And then over time, like I said, what usually would appeal to him and a lot of us in our own sin, it doesn't appeal to us anymore. And so we go deeper into that if we, mm-hmm. as that bondage just holds yeah. on to us. And that's what happened with him. So looking at a picture was no longer, and then a video, and then he went, so he just went deeper and deeper wow. into that. And so that's really what, you know, started it for him. And he had accountability in his life, but he tells, as he explains it to people, he would leave off about 20%. So he would tell them, struggling with pornography, you know, whatever, but then he would never go the full amount. And so accountability only works if you're willing to lay it all out on the table.
It's true. We always say the depth of your vulnerability determines the completeness of your healing.
So true.
And that's
it. I cannot agree more.
So, okay. So, I mean, that is, I mean, and the story of him finding it young is becoming more and more common. You know, mm-hmm. kids are finding it earlier and earlier. And like you said, it's like gasoline on the fire when you add the internet to it and it's so readily available. But you had mentioned, you know, it's like he would go back and forth and he would have seasons of victory and then it'd fall back.
Yes.
So even after you've forgiven him.
Yes.
How do you start to build trust again? Because it feels like having so many tentacles, right? And multiple times and then seasons of winning and then not winning. It's like, when do you get to a point where you're like, is there another failure around the corner? Is there another, like, how do I get to that place where trust has been rebuilt? Like, what was your process there?
So I think it would have been different if I had been with him on all the times that he was unfaithful, if he had confessed to me after every time. But he held on to those. So like when he confessed everything 20 years ago, he told me everything. And so like, I don't know how I would have responded if he had told me, hey, I cheated on you and I'm better. I cheated on you. You know, I just don't know about that. But as far as the trust goes, that was the hardest part of this whole thing. Like not forgiveness, it was the trust. It wasn't even like, I mean, you know, our lives shifted drastically from being in full-time ministry to not. And then I'm telling you, it was the trust thing. I thought, how do I trust someone who did all this? And, you know, I thought he looked like he was doing the right things and walking with Jesus and serving people and loving, you know, worshiping and leading in worship, but he wasn't. And so there were a couple things that happened. The first thing was God was like, I heard God say, as I was trying to decide if I was going to stay married, there was about a 3 week period of time where I was just wrestling with like, do I want to stay
yeah.
and fight with him for our marriage? Do I really want to do that? And God just kept speaking, saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I'm thinking, well, yes, I trust you, God, but I don't trust him. And I just over a course of a couple of weeks, God was just like, I'm the one trustworthy. I haven't let you down. He has. Humans let you down. I don't. And so, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say trust in your mother with all your heart or your best friend with all your yep. heart or your husband or your wife. It says trust in the Lord.
Yep.
And so that's where I started. I said, okay, God, I am taking steps forward. I am petrified because he could do this tomorrow. But I think what it boiled down to for me was over time, I really did see my husband as someone who just didn't want to live that way. In fact, I've never met anyone who enjoyed living in bondage.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
it doesn't mean that they don't still choose to live in bondage,
yeah.
but I don't know people who love it. And
yeah.
so that was a good thing for me to see. He was open to anyone's feedback. One of our pastors came and took our computer from our home and it was gone for like 2 months. So there was no access there. We didn't have any smartphones. I think we had a flip phone, maybe, yeah. You know, so it was just, he went to work. He went and got a, after he left Life Church team, he went and got a job at a hardware store. And so like, there was just, he was really insulated, and it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So, but the whole trust thing, just over time, I began to see God's work, the work of God in him. And I realized I can trust the Holy Spirit in Chris Beal. That's who I can trust when he's walking in the Spirit, when he's walking in the Spirit, when he is not walking according to the flesh, you know, that's the man I can trust. And so I began to see this man feed his spirit, and out of that, his flesh would starve. And so that's how that's the whole trust journey. And today I do trust him, but I still don't place my complete trust in any human. God is the source of my absolute trust.
Yeah.
And what's hard for people to understand is that because I trust God fully, I can actually trust humans and give them the grace when they do fall, when they do fail. I can't just think, oh, I want to be a recipient of grace. I've got to be a distributor as well. And that's where we mess up so many times, is we're like, yes, God, I'll take your grace. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that? No, I don't think so. So that's been my journey with trust.
That's really good.
So good. I want to actually maybe put you on the spot a little bit here, but while you were sharing, I was just picturing a listener, one woman. And again, this isn't stereotypical, right? Like where it's a woman or a man, we know it goes both ways, but I just know in my experience talking to so many women who come to me, who've been where you're sitting right now. And for you to even just take a moment where they're going to be able to look at, if they're watching on YouTube or if you're listening, it's like, this is just for you. If you were able to sit because you were having coffee or you were sitting at the front row of church praying for them, what would you be looking at them and saying, you know, here's my best advice, here's my prayer for you in this season?
Well, I would say God sees you. There's nothing that he is not aware of. Let me just speak to women, because that's who usually I speak to. My husband and I will speak to couples together, but I'm usually just with the women, and I will see the fret in them, the fear, the, what do I do? I can't let this keep happening, and I can't waste any more time. And I would say to them, and I would say to the woman listening, you don't have to decide the rest of your life today. That was advice given to me by one of our pastors, Kevin.
Really good.
And it freed me, you guys. You just don't even know how that just was like, okay. And what that said to me was, okay, I don't have to divorce him tomorrow. If I was going to do that, I don't have to figure all this out. What are the things today that I need to step into? And I think that's the biggest thing I could tell someone who's listening right now.
I love that.
I do too.
Oh, I love that. I've got chills.
That's just good advice for life in general.
Yes,
too.
I know. Like, sure. I can apply that to
just
my life
wait
right
on
now.
The Lord and you know, take it a moment at a time. You don't have to figure out the next 50 years today. Like that applies to so many things. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'd love to, if we could kind of make it a little more specific, would love to hear just, you know, we're huge on resources. That's a big part of what we do with Moral Revolution, is resourcing people from creating our own resources or bringing resources in and letting people know, hey, here's a great book, here's a great resource. Would love to hear just how your book would be helpful for a couple different people. Would love to hear, okay, so for the single person that's not yet married, why would they read? Like, what's packed in there that's going to give them the right basis before they're getting married? Or how would that apply to the single person? But then also for the marriage, like, what is that going to do for the marriage? You know, the book that you, obviously the vulnerability, I mean, it's huge. Yeah. But specifically, would love to hear, like, we'd love for our followers to go and grab that. Like, we want every resource in their hand that they possibly need to win. And so we'd just love for you to unpack a little bit about, hey, this is what it would do for you if you were to grab this as a resource.
Well, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, it's a God story. I choose not to take credit, even though people try to get me to take credit. They'll say, Cindy, you saved my marriage. I'm like, I don't think so, but I know what you're saying. I appreciate the kind words, but you know, who doesn't want to see and read about the redemption of God in someone's life? At least I do. So that's the first thing that could bring encouragement to whomever is the audience, single, married, young, old, parent, not parent, non-parent. So, but to the single person, I've actually had some people who are kind of scared to read it for fear that, oh, is this what I have to look forward to in marriage? And I would just say, shift your gaze, shift your focus just a little bit and say, okay, let me learn from this of the things that other people have done, what Chris and Cindy have gone through, and let me figure out what are ways that I can
just be aware
of whatever it is going into an engagement or marriage and not be afraid to have those conversations. And to the married couple, I mean, you know, it just depends on where they are. If it's a couple who's going through some kind of betrayal, infidelity, man, I hope it encourages them. I hope it builds them up. At the end of every chapter, I have questions for them to go through together, just to talk through. Awesome. But you know, at the end of the day, we have a choice to make in our marriage. We can fight, and we can make it stronger, and we can push through the hard times, the times where it feels like we are walking in quicksand. Because we all go through that. Even if you don't have any kind of significant thing like my husband and I've walked through, you're still going to go through marital quicksand. It's still going to be hard some days. And there's still going to be times, people, where you may not really like your spouse. You'll still love them, but you may not always like them. And that is just the nature of human beings coming together to be united in a world that, man, not only do we have, I mean, we have just so much going on, but we have a spiritual enemy who is just, he wants your marriage to end. So take a stand today, and whether it's my book or someone else's book, and invest in your marriage. Be intentional in your marriage.
It's awesome. Oh, that's so good. So we're going to kind of got to wrap up here, but I got a couple more things I would love just to hear you give your thoughts to. What's one key that you would say, hey, for marriages that are, whether you're doing good and this hasn't happened yet, or it has and you're fighting for it, like what's one key you would say, hey, marriages, if you can do this, it's going to protect your marriage?
Yeah, I think, try to find one.
Or you could say two or three, you know.
Give us however many keys you want.
We're a part of Bethel. Yeah. One often turns into 20, you know, so.
Perfect. That sounds great. So I always tell people, when their marriage is maybe just not what they had hoped it would be, or maybe it was great, and then they kind of just, I use the word, they stopped investing in each other. I would say that's the biggest thing. Go back to making the investment. We've all heard the analogy of the grass being greener, and oh, the reason it's greener is they water it. And that's true. So like, if you are really struggling and you're not connecting, start making investments, intentional today. So like that's across the board. Chris and I still have to do that occasionally. You know, we, our youngest son just turned 18. So we're in a brand new season of, you know, like really tying up the whole parenting thing. Now we're still going to be in their lives as adult children, but just different. And so what we still have to invest in time together and make sure that we are, you know, doing that. But the other thing I tell people, it's pretty simple, is I tell them, think about your spouse more than you think about yourself.
Wow. Whoa. That's good.
And if you, I mean, think about it. If I think about Chris and how to serve him and love him and meet his needs more than I think about my own, and then he does that as well, like we're going to really be in a pretty good place, because we're thinking about the other.
Totally.
And that's really where Chris and I are now. Like, I know he is looking for ways to still make me feel loved and cherished and, you know, appreciated. Mm. And it's really sweet. And we've been married a long time. So it's, those are a couple things I would say to help marriages.
That's so cool.
So we haven't yet talked about where Chris is at now. Like, obviously you guys are together still, you know, what's today look like for you guys, ministry wise, marriage wise, all of that?
So most people, so at Life Church, we have I think we're going on upwards of 1,000 team members. I'm not completely sure of our number, but a lot. And so people will come on the team, and when they hear our story, because somebody will share, it's pretty common among our staff and even our campuses across the nation. But like when they hear that, they really can't believe it. Like the countenance of my husband and of me, like we just don't, we're not wounded people. We were wounded at a time. And so by the power of God and the redemption and the, you know, his work in our lives, like you just would never know that. And so I think that's a real special thing. And so we were able to share our story with people and just give them that hope. But, you know, Chris is, he is still, you know, walks with a repentant heart. He is still open to correction. He doesn't get defensive. You guys, in 20 years, he's never been defensive about our story. I mean, I wrote 2 books about the man and the worst thing he ever did.
Wow.
I got his permission and everything.
Yeah.
But like, he is still, you just would be blown away of how God has used him. And he gets to lead our campus pastors. He has 12 of our Life Church locations under his leadership, and he gets to impact them. And, you know, we were just talking with one of our campus pastors last night, and he said, it is my desire now to model life in full-time ministry and following Jesus. Like, I just want to model that for you guys, because, you know, we're in our 50s now. And so I don't know what the next decade looks like for us, or, you know, how many more years we'll be fully on the front lines of ministry. So, but we're going to leap. Yeah.
I just love the path of redemption at Life Church, where failure was happening, but the response was with humility and true repentance. And it didn't have to result in exile and excommunication, because that's a story, you know, that you hear so many times. And a lot of it's dependent on his response and everybody navigating it. But man, it speaks a lot about him, about you in the church environment and the culture that the Groeschels have created there and the team that creates culture. I'm encouraged by that.
Yeah.
I love the end of the story or the middle of the story rather, where you guys are at now, is just so encouraging to me and exciting.
Yeah. Actually, I want to ask if you would speak to that too for 1 second, Cindy, because again, I'm picturing a listener who might be in a mess that they're like, we're in a mess and we know it and it's hard, but we've been fighting in it in isolation alone because we're so afraid of exposing it. Can we trust our leaders? Can we trust our bosses? Can we trust our families to know this? Would you speak to why it's important to bring it into the light outside of even just the two of you to walk and to find full healing and freedom?
Well, we know that exposure, you know, bringing things into the light takes away the power that our spiritual enemy has over us and the forces of darkness. And so you don't have to tell the world like I did, but tell someone, you know, tell a trusted friend, not the friends that are going to go, hey, whatever you need. No, tell the friends that are going to challenge you, help you grow, help you heal, stand by you. And maybe it is a pastor. I don't know where everybody is on their own journey. So it could be a church leader. It could be someone who's a mentor, but don't do this alone, because isolation will breed more darkness. And you won't heal well if you don't bring people onto this journey with you.
That's so good.
I love it.
That's so good. I still have one more question.
Oh, you do.
I can tell you're wrapping up.
Not today.
You're a mama bear, right? And so I think when all of this was happening, you had young children, but obviously now having adult children, them knowing your story, what did that look like in being vulnerable and transparent with children and for your sons? How has that
really
played
good,
out
babe.
As when did you decide to share with them? How did you do that?
I'm glad we're not ending right now.
Yeah. What? How did that go?
Yeah. So my oldest son, Noah, is 23. And so he was almost 3 when everything happened. So he doesn't remember life like without mom and dad talking to people whose marriages are not doing well. Okay. Our middle son is the one who was born in the relationship that he had in during that time when our marriage was falling apart. And I'm telling you, what was once a place of great pain is now the greatest, such a joy. Like, I love him so much. Like, he's my boy. He calls me Mama Cindy. And God has brought, I mean, like, that's a whole different aspect of the redemption story.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we, I mean, he is the light of our lives. He is amazing. And then our youngest was not born yet. In fact, I told Chris when everything happened, I was like, I will not have any more children with you. I literally told him,
yeah.
I was like, because I'm just not sure I want to do this. And then I think about him. He joined us, you know, about 2 years later. And God just worked in my heart and brought him here. And I can't imagine life without him. So they all know our story. They know everything we've gone through. Chris has been open with them. We have talked some hard conversations, but my oldest and my youngest love their brother, who doesn't live with us. He lives farther away, but they adore him. He's their brother. It's just redemption.
Wow.
So. I mean, on a level that is unheard of a lot of times.
Wow.
And seems like you guys have positioned yourselves really well to experience that redemption, which is awesome and inspiring to me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your story.
For writing this book and creating this content and this resource. I mean, it's so important to have a pathway for people to experience the same fullness of the cross you guys are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And we're thankful that you steward it so well and that you're the tip of the spear in this for Christians everywhere. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys are kind. I appreciated you having me on the podcast. It's been great.
Awesome. So let's talk about it, listeners. We will link in the show notes her book, Healing Your Marriage When Trust is Broken, and link all of the places you can find out more of Cindy and her family story. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.